Well, it is that time of year again, and I got to know, who's excited about going back to school? I'm thinking maybe some of the parents were a little louder than some of the kids right there. They're like, woo, we're getting back. But it's like, almost like summer just began, right? I mean, summer was rolling along, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it's like we're here. And it's time to get lunches packed before the next day, and it's time to pray lots of prayers because, you know, auditions are the next day or tryouts. And, I mean, we're all of a sudden we're trying to make the grade or we're trying to make the team. And it's not just the people who have kids in the home that are feeling it, but also those who maybe are empty nesters, and all of a sudden the traffic patterns change and your commute doubles, and we're all feeling the change. It's just a lot of change right now. In fact, I'm kind of getting worked up just thinking about it. If we could, can we just stop and just take a deep breath? Just well, it feels better, doesn't it? That felt good. Because it is. I mean, it's a change for all of us. Here we are, back to school. It's big time for change in the Eads family. We've got our youngest, Annie. She's going into the sixth grade. So you know what that means. That means she's going into middle school. That's right. Middle school. And everything's different for her. I mean, she's in a new building, even with new people, new teachers. In fact, the school that she moved into, this is the first year that they've even opened the building, first year for the school. And so everything is new for everyone. Big change for her. And then I have Weston, who is a ninth grader, going into his, you know what that means, freshman year. That means high school, right? So brand new building. Man, last year he was the oldest in his school, and this year he is the youngest. That's a big change, right? I mean, you know, lots changing. And then my junior, Landon, he's not in a new building. He's actually the only one of my four children that's not going to be in a new place this year, but he's experienced a lot of change this past year. He gained about 70 pounds over the last year and about 3 inches in height, all muscle. Yes, he is taller than his dad now, and it's interesting because people look at him and then they look at me and they go, where did he get his size? And I'm like, what do you mean? Yes, I am tiptoeing in most of our family pictures these days. And then there is Jackson, our oldest, who is going off to college for the first time. Yes, yes. Yeah, as of Tuesday, he is going to be going off to Abilene Christian University. And there you go. All right, we got some ACU folks in the house. Yeah, there's Jackson. We are super proud of him. So Tuesday, we are going to be taking him. And I don't know exactly what to expect. I mean, some of you have done this before, taking your first child off to college. And so you told me, you know, yeah, you thought you were doing fine too. And then you like cried all day. And then for the next like month, and I'm like, these stories are not helping me. But yeah, we're super proud of him, you know. And here's a picture that was taken just 3 days ago, right here. Okay, so maybe it just feels like it was 3 days ago because time flies. So I don't know exactly what to expect. It's this Tuesday we're going to be dropping him off in his dorm, and then everything will change. It's a lot of change, but I'll tell you this. Here's my goal. My goal is just to do better than Max did when he took his oldest, Jenna, to college for the first time. He was a bit emotional, as you can imagine, and he stopped to put gas in his vehicle. And as he drove off, he felt a little bit of a jolt. And he looked back and he realized he had forgotten to take the gas nozzle out of the gas tank before he drove off. It really does work better when you take that out before you drive off. So as you can see, I'm setting the bar kind of low for myself. So Tuesday, if you'll pray for me and for every gas station between here and Abilene, that would be fantastic. Well, hey, if you're here in San Antonio or you're watching online, I want you to know that we are thrilled that you're here. You've actually come at the perfect time because we're in the middle of something we are calling the Harvest Vision Series. Over the last couple weeks, if you were with us, you heard from two of our lead pastors, Jimmy and Mario. And could you tell those guys were just a little bit excited? Yeah, and they should be, because part of our harvest vision is that those two guys and the campuses that they have represented are just about to become independent churches. This is the harvest vision. So we are about to launch September 1st, Journey Fellowship, and what is to become the Bridge Church. Now, I don't know if this sounds like a big deal to you, you know, taking campuses and then launching them as independent churches. I can tell you it's a big deal. We have prayed, and then we have planned, and then we have prayed some more, and we've learned some things, but we are believing that more people, we need more churches for more people to come to follow Jesus in more places. And so let me tell you about this as well as part of this harvest vision. Although the North Central campus is going to dissolve as an OHC expression, there were about 100 folks there who said, you know what, we want to step up. We feel like a church needs to be planted here too. So, and pretty soon, North Central Fellowship is about to be planted as an independent church as well. This is very exciting. And also, we have our other two campuses, Alamo Ranch and Westside Fellowship. And as you can imagine, they have been watching these launches very closely because they are coming in behind and they are discerning what God is calling them to in terms of what this looks like to become independent, an independent church. This is, it's a very exciting time. It is, it's exciting. But it's also change. There are a lot of changes that we experience in life, things when life changes that it's exciting, but it's also a little bit bittersweet, maybe some sadness mixed in. That's just the way life is. We experience change. And the thing is, change happens at lightning speed these days. Some of you can remember where it just took longer for change to take place. And now it just seems to happen every day, change. I mean, you even come to church and you find out that the service times are changing. You're like, are you serious? I mean, I thought at least something might stay the same. And everything continues to change around us. We've changed the way that we communicate with each other. We've changed the way that we shop. We've changed the way that we date. It just seems like everything changes around us. And no one likes change, except maybe those who are creating the change, I don't know. But no one likes change. And we've all heard it said that change is inevitable, right? And we know that change is many times inconvenient, intrusive. But what if it's more than that? What if change is an invitation to grow, an invitation to grow? Every time Jesus invited someone to follow him, it was an invitation to grow. There would be something in that person's life that would change. And so, especially for those around Jesus, they found change and disruption in their lives. But it was always an invitation to grow. Can you imagine what it would have felt like to be one of Jesus' earliest followers? The amount of change and the amount of disruption that they would have felt in their life on a daily basis. I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to open them to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today. In this particular instance, Jesus and his followers, they are taking a little trip from Judea to a place called Galilee. And I want you to see how Jesus changed the plans. We're going to pick up in verse 3. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through where? Samaria. Now, what's the big deal about going through Samaria? It's actually the shortest route from Judea to Galilee, makes sense to me. But here's the thing, to go through Samaria was a little iffy for the Jews, especially for many of the devout Jews. They didn't like to go through Samaria. Why? Because it had, Samaritans in it. And you see, Samaritans were not purely Jewish. They were half Jewish. They were half Gentile. And the Jews, many of the Jews did not get along with the Samaritans, and the Samaritans did not get along with the Jews as well. We even see, if we were to look at Luke chapter 9, that even Jesus wasn't welcome at one point in Samaria. So this is a big deal. I'm sure his followers probably thought they knew the route that they were going to go. And then here Jesus is. He is changing the plan. Jesus does this because he has a divine appointment with someone, not just any someone, but a Samaritan. Not just any Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. And so he meets this Samaritan woman at a well at the hottest part of the day. No one saw this coming. But because of this encounter, Jesus began to change her life. But to do that, he changed some things. He was busting through some barriers, some geographical barriers. He was changing things because he was busting through some cultural barriers, right? These were the people from the wrong side of the tracks. They had the wrong customs. They had the wrong practices. But he's also busting through a gender barrier. And he's talking to a woman. This would have been very surprising, even to those who were closest to Jesus, following him the closest. I want you to see what takes place in verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were what? Surprised. They were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" No one asked, but they wanted to. You see, because Jesus was doing something out of the ordinary. He was changing things up, and they were surprised. I have to think that many times Jesus just left his followers kind of scratching their head, wondering, what is he up to now? They couldn't see it in that moment, but he was changing things. And he wasn't just changing things for the woman at the well. Her life would never be the same. And he wasn't just changing things for the sake of his followers. Their lives would never be the same. But you see, it was more than just growing for the woman and growth for the disciples. This was about growth for the kingdom. You see, what happened with this encounter is the woman began to talk with Jesus. He began to tell her things about herself that she's thinking, how does he know this? And there's something resonating in her spirit for the first time. She's thinking, I want to know more about this. And so she asks questions. She asks a lot of questions. She's convinced this man is the Messiah. So what does she do? She goes back into the town. And she starts telling people about Jesus. And what do they do? Well, they leave the town. They have to come back out and find out if this is, what is this woman talking about? And I want you to see what happens in terms of growth for the kingdom. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed. They believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. This not so by chance encounter with Jesus led this woman back into the town. And the Samaritans came out. Somebody in generations to come would be telling their children, let me tell you why we follow Jesus today. And it's because one day he came to our town. See, it was the growing witness for this woman that they began to see. The disciples at this point, the followers, they couldn't quite understand all this, and so Jesus wanted to make it very clear to them what was unfolding right before their very eyes. In verse 35, he says, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. The fields are white for harvest. You see, their vision was too small. Their view was too limited to the right people or to the right places. And Jesus is expanding their view. I have to wonder, maybe they were just a little confused at this point. Maybe one of the disciples, maybe he's just kind of looking down at the ground trying to figure it out. Maybe just taking his foot and Jesus just walks up and just takes his chin. Maybe it's Thomas, I don't know. And he just lifts his chin and he says, lift your eyes and see. So what's going on here is that the fields are white for harvest. And I have to wonder, what would we see if we were willing to lift our eyes and see? What would Jesus show us? Not just to see the challenges and to see the change that just seems to be constant, but to see the opportunities. Not just to see the problems. Anyone can see the problems. But who's going to be willing to see the promise of hope for a new day? If we were willing to lift our eyes and see, what would Jesus show you? What would you see as possible in your life? And yes, it is going to require some change. But change is not just inevitable. It's not just inconvenient. It's not just intrusive. Change is an invitation to grow. But all this change can be unsettling. I mean, just the change that we experience in our life on a daily basis. What do you say that we just take a moment to talk a little bit about what's not going to change? Does that sound good? Sound good just to talk about something that's actually not going to change? Here's where we want to begin. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is why we place our hope in Him. This is why we have said before that our hope is unshakable, because Jesus does not shake. He does not change. Everything else seems to change. But the one that we follow moment by moment does not change. Well, there are some other things that are not going to change here at Oak Hills Church. So even as we head into this harvest vision and we feel that some things are beginning to change, there are some things that will not change. So I'd like to talk about that for just a few moments. Things that won't change, our core beliefs and practices. We still believe the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. We still believe in the church, that the church is the hope of the world. I would invite you, if you have not, to look on our site, look at our core beliefs. These things are not changing. Our practices are not changing. Something else that's not changing, and we're just going to remain committed to worship and prayer. I want to invite you in this ministry season, prioritize gathering to worship. There is something that happens when we gather together as the family of God and we worship and we are in His presence. It changes us, and that is always a change for the good. We are also going to remain committed to prayer. We have always at Oak Hills Church been a people of prayer, and that is not going to change. That is going to continue. Praying in our services, praying together around our services, praying throughout the week. We have prayer partners and prayer ministers that are praying over prayer requests all week long. Right now, in this moment, we have people praying just for this service. We are going to remain a people of prayer. We are also going to continue to teach truth and grace. Many of you, as I've heard your stories, you've told me, hey, I was just really kind of drowning in my own guilt, or maybe just in a sea of legalism, and then I came to Oak Hills, and I heard for the first time grace. That is going to continue. We will continue to teach truth and grace. We're also going to continue a reliance on the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is so important to us, we are about to spend our entire fall talking about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, because we realize that a lot of people can, okay, God the Father, I can kind of understand that, God the Son, I can see Jesus, but in my mind, but Holy Spirit, what is my relationship? How do I nurture a relationship with the Holy Spirit? And we're going to be talking about that this fall. We're also going to remain committed to reaching the lost. You see, this is not just about following Jesus moment by moment for our sake, but for the many around us that are just waiting for an invitation to follow him. We are going to continue to reach the lost. We are going to continue to focus on local and global outreach. We want to serve our community. We want to serve our city. And we want to serve beyond. This will continue to be an emphasis for us. We want to continue to emphasize life-on-life relationships. You know, a lot of people believe that they can be themselves by themselves. Just to find your true self, just look from within, but that's not what we believe to be true. To find your true self, the nature of Jesus welling up within you, you can't be yourself by yourself. We need each other. And so we're going to continue to emphasize the importance of having someone in your life that can speak into your life, someone that you can speak into their life. This may be our small groups. It might be a small group that you meet with at a coffee shop or in your home or at your school. Some of you, I know some of our students are even starting groups in their school. Why? Because iron needs to sharpen iron, and we can't be ourselves by ourselves. We're going to continue to emphasize life-on-life relationships. We're also going to continue to emphasize families and the next generation. Church, we have to invest in our young families. We have to invest in the next generation. And we're going to continue to do that. I'm so excited that this year that we're going to have even more of a presence on one of the largest universities in Texas that's right here in our backyard at UTSA. That is exciting to me. It's exciting to me to see these young adults rising up and meeting together on Thursday nights and doing life together, serving together. We are going to continue to invest in the next generation, in our young families. Courageous leadership. This is more aspirational for me, but I can tell you that this church has known courageous leadership for a long time. And when I say that, I mean the courage to not just change things, the courage to change the right things, the courage to lead, coupled with humility. This is a church that is going to continue to be led with courageous leadership. And finally, a servant culture. A servant culture. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And so in the family here at Oak Hills Church, we want to be a church that understands the importance of serving, of giving. Not just coming and receiving and getting in and getting out, but to serve each other. To serve and build up the body. And to serve in the kingdom of God. Why do we believe this? We believe this because one of our core beliefs is that every believer is a minister. You see, that word minister there, that's not a title for the few. That is a call for all of us. We believe that all of us have a purpose and a role to play in the body. But we have to seek that out. You see, we believe that God has placed the Oak Hills family right here, right now, for such a time as this, but it is going to take every single one of us. Now, last week, we were reminded that if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. So let's just do this right now. Can everybody just kind of check just to make sure? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. You just go ahead and do this. You feel that pulse? Feel it? All right, all right. If you've got a pulse, you have a purpose. Every single one of us. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 10, listen to this. He said, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which who prepared? God prepared. Good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Church, here is our dream. Our dream is that every single person that walks through our doors would come to know their God-given purpose and go all in, overflowing through the power of the Holy Spirit, not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of all, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of others. You have a God-given purpose that He has planted in each one of us. Our dream is that we would discover that and that we would know what that is and then to be able to come together as a family and to be able to serve each other, build this church up in love so that it can serve our community, our city, and beyond. I know it feels like a lot of things are changing. Changing in our personal life. I'm sure there have been some changes, some things we didn't see, some things that surprised us even this past week. But some things aren't changing. Some of us are going to experience some big change even in the next few days. And while that change is exciting and it's right, it can also be unsettling. Change is inevitable. It's inconvenient. But it's an invitation to grow. I want to leave you with one final thing that is not going to change at Oak Hills Church, and that is at the center of all that we do will be following Jesus. This is where it's been for us for 61 years, and that's where it's going to continue to be. Next week, we're going to pick up here, and I'm going to talk to you more about what does this really mean? What does it really mean to follow Jesus? And how are we going to do this together as a body? That's where we'll pick up next week. But for right now, can I just leave you with this? And I don't know of a better place to leave you than with the words of Jesus himself. And that is this. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. The fields in your life are white for harvest. They are ripe. They are ready. You have people all around you that need an invitation to follow Jesus. And so here's where I want to leave you. I want to ask you to just focus on those words this week. Just let them resonate in your heart. Because you may find yourself in moments where you just need to lift your eyes up just a little higher so that you can see the opportunities that are around you all. Let's pray together. Father, we ask you to give us vision, that we only want your vision. Holy Spirit, speak to us, guide us, lift our eyes, let us see what you would have us see. Let us hear what you would have us hear. Father, we want to be willing and open vessels for you in this coming ministry season, and we want to do it together. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we would see your vision, your future, for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.